I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
All right, welcome back. Top of the hour, Fantasy Sports. Today we got Jason Stanis coming along here in about 10 minutes. Lots of bye weeks in the NFL this week. We've been talking about it all week long. You should really go back on demand on our YouTube channel. Check out all the discussions that we've had, who's in, who's out, players to pick up, players to start, players to sit. We do that all week long here on Fantasy Sports Today. Here are our headlines as we begin the show here on this Friday, getting you ready for the weekend. The Houston Astros can take care of business tonight as they can close out the Boston Red Sox in Game 6 of the American League Championship Series. Also, four games tonight in hockey. Also, four games tonight in college football. In the NBA, we've got Phoenix and the Lakers. That should be a good game. 10 games tonight in the NBA slate. Also, Ben Simmons, Davis. Man, we asked this question yesterday on the show. I think I'm going to get this one right. What is it? I think we did a fantasy or reality that Ben Simmons would cause more drama than Kyrie Irving. I think I heard Davis Maddox say, oh, this is a big fantasy, right? Meanwhile, I did it to play contrarian with you, honestly, Davis, because I do kind of agree with you on Kyrie Irving. But based on the news we're hearing in the last 24 hours, what was it, the GM and said this may not be resolved for a month or something crazy.
So funny. Yeah.
Right?
Daryl Morey on the radio yesterday, they said this could drag out for 4 years because that's how long Ben Simmons is on. That's how long his contract is. He already signed the extension. So Daryl Morey said, look, Joel is in his prime. We cannot trade away Ben Simmons for undervalue. Like, that's basically what he said. We are not giving Ben Simmons away regardless of how unhappy and miserable he is. So this could drag out for 4 years. I mean, I love Daryl Morey. Like that, like, just be the villain. It's hilarious.
Yeah. So what is the end game here for Ben? He's just doing the Harden stuff, right? Like, he's just trying to get traded, right? That's it. That's all he cares about, right?
Yeah. He said, oh, my back's tight. My back, you know, my back is really hurting me, which, you know, obviously his back is fine. Like, guy hasn't played, you know, competitive basketball in 4 months. So he's fine, but he did this the wrong way. So James Harden just showed up fat. And he loafed around and just, you know, just hung out, you know, was not giving it his all. But the organization couldn't be like, you know, they couldn't fine him. He wasn't missing practices. I think even like Rockets fans, you can't really be that mad. Now, the Rockets situation is different than the 76ers situation. If Ben had spent the entire offseason, you know, conditioning and working on his shot, they're legitimate title contenders. They're definitely not going to win a title without him or without a good trade. But yeah, he is going to do the Harden thing. He's going to say, oh, my back hurts. Oh, my ankle hurts. Oh, you know, my hand's feeling, I hurt my fingers. You know, that's what we're going to do with Simmons now. So he'll be showing up so he doesn't get fined. Because I think if my numbers are right, I think he's already given up like $1.5 million in game checks and practice bonuses and stuff. Because the 76ers are this is the first time it's ever happened in the NBA where a star has been under contract and they've said, you know what? We're actually not paying you. You don't show up, you're not getting paid. Because normally the team just caves, right? Kyrie's getting paid as far as I can tell. And because they don't want to drive the wedge in between the organization. But yeah, this Simmons thing is crazy. So maybe I was wrong.
Yeah, I was a total guess. Not something that I thought I was right about, but I said, you know, for the sake of the show, let me take the other side on this one and make something up to see. I mean, which is what everybody does here. When they do these argument shows, people do that all the time. Okay, so let's go back to the Bucks here for a minute. So no Gronk, no Antonio Brown, We know that the Bucs are averaging, what, more points than anyone else in the NFL or close to it. Bears defense isn't as good as it was. I actually think the Bears may keep this game close. I don't know. Something wacky about this game to me. But who is like the third best option now on Tampa Bay? Because someone in a 15-teamer in a flex is probably looking at this, because Antonio Brown was getting a lot of targets from Tom Brady.
Antonio Brown was getting a lot of targets. I think that this probably reduces the whack-a-mole between Mike Evans, Chris Godwin a little bit. Like, because what's happened this season is that basically two wide receivers have been able to have a good game for them. But for whatever reason, like, you know, Evans has a two-touchdown game, and then Gronk has a two-touchdown game in the same game. Antonio Brown gets one catch. Godwin has a good game, and Antonio Brown has a good game. Mike Evans has four catches for 30 yards. And so now, no Antonio Brown, no Rob Gronkowski. You can probably look at those guys. If you are in a deep league, you could pick up Tyler Johnson. He's going to be their third wide receiver for this game because Scotty Miller, remember him? I think Scotty Miller had a, if I'm remembering, didn't he have a huge clutch reception in either the game against the Washington football team or the game against the Saints? I believe that's true if my memory serves, but he is on the designated for return IR, so we won't see him. Really, what'll just happen is they're going to run the ball, I think, you know, up in the second half, because they're going to play O.J. Howard and Cam Brate and just try to salt away the lead. So O.J. Howard and Tyler Johnson would be your beneficiaries.
By the way, thanks again for the Damian Williams advice. I did take it. He's on my teams. And thanks again that he's not playing. Appreciate that. Nice work.
Yeah, Khalil Herbert, man. Khalil Herbert is he's the guy right now. Damian is he's fumbling his chance. He would have been back this week, but he's not vaccinated, so he can't play.
I know. What a nightmare. He looked so good in that first half too. So
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
All right, on to bigger and better things. Coming up next, Jim Sannis of Number Fire and FanDuel joins us. We go through the slate on Sunday. Those of you who have FanDuel accounts, pull them up right now. Get ready to set a lineup. We're going to take care of that for you. And then season-long players, we got Joe Pizzapia from Fantasy Pro and the Fantasy Black Book to help you out with some of the options this week. Stay on the grid. Great.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. Well, talk about tricky. This is going to be a tough week to play daily fantasy sports. It's going to be a lot of fun, but there are going to be a lot of landmines, pitfalls, buys, you name it. We got it. We bring in Jim Sannis so we can wade through it this week. Of course, you can follow him on Twitter at Jim Sannis and also his work over at numberfire.com. Jim, I guess happy bye week to you. I think that's the fair to say this week.
Yeah, you hope, because all the good teams are on buys. If you don't have buys this week, it probably means your teams aren't very good. So luckily, my teams are looking pretty rough this week, which I think is a good sign for the rest of the year. Maybe not for Sunday, though.
Yeah, I had to make serious pickups here. I'm season-long leagues waiting to pick up a quarterback for Herbert in one league, a quarterback for Prescott in another league. It's just kind of wacky this week. And I think that's a good point. If you're doing well, be happy with what has transpired this week. Well, in daily fantasy, on the other hand, I feel like we will find some options. But I suppose before we get to it, Jim, as we talk about every year, bye weeks are part of the game. So a little quick strategy here before we start getting into the pricing as we approach week 7.
Yeah, the two things you have to decide are how you want to handle the teams that are heavily favored and what you want to do with Derrick Henry, because Henry is $11,000 on Sunday, which is a lot, but he's worth it. So you have to decide, do I want to jam him in or go elsewhere? And then do you have faith that the teams that are heavily favored will be competitive the entire game? I think in general, those teams have good floors, But do they win you large field tournaments? The answer tends to be no there. It tends to be players in closer games, potential shootouts, back and forth affairs. So I think that for cash games and for small field tournaments, those heavily favored teams like the Rams, like the Bucks, etc., those teams totally fine. For larger field tournaments, though, you have some leeway to deviate and go elsewhere and potentially try to further emphasize games that may be competitive for all four quarters.
Yeah, hard. Four games really with double-digit spreads. So, yeah, that's definitely a big part of it this week. All right, so let's dive right in. Let's take a look at the quarterbacks that we have, or the ones we don't have. I guess maybe that's the bigger conversation. We have Patrick Mahomes this week, Kansas City against Tennessee. He is 8,800 on FanDuel, followed by Kyler Murray at 8,700 against, as you said, Houston. Lamar Jackson is at 8,400 for Baltimore. Jalen Hurts, 8,300. Stafford is 81. Brady is 8,000. And below him, we have Aaron Rodgers at 7,900. So fortunately, feels like there are some pretty good options here. But yeah, we got to wade in between how long Murray will be on the field if it is a close game. And it is the NFL. You never know. But I see a bunch of quarterbacks here that in blowouts wouldn't be playing.
Yeah, I think that for me, I want to focus on the tight game between the Chiefs and the Titans. That game is fun on both sides. I love Patrick Mahomes, but also Ryan Tannehill may be due for some upward touchdown regression. I was kind of shocked to see Julio Jones practicing Thursday, so I'm not sure he'll play, but was encouraging to see him out there at least. So I think that you can have Ryan Tannehill, a quarterback. You can stack him with Derrick Henry for sure. Like, that's totally fine. Or you can stack him with A.J. Brown as well. So to me, it's Mahomes 1, Ryan Tannehill 2. I do like Jalen Hurts a lot at $8,300. I think that game is also pretty fun. A lot of plays in that game. Good pace. I think that with Lane Johnson being back, we should upgrade Jalen Hurts there as well. So to me, it's kind of those three. Mahomes 1, Tannehill 2, Hurts 3. And I do think that Lamar Jackson right there at 4. It should be a fun game against the Bengals, just not as fast of a game as you would like.
Yeah, interesting game there for sure. We'll see if the Bengals are legit or if the Ravens do what they normally do in Baltimore, which is crush them, which is pretty much what they've done. Okay, at running back, yes, the Derrick Henry show continues, and next week it's the Chiefs. A close game is going to pay dividends. Wow, 11,000 this week, as you mentioned, over on FanDuel. We got Aaron Jones at 8,500 for Green Bay against Washington. Cordarrell Patterson, who's had a nice season, is at 8,000. Atlanta's at Miami. Darrell Henderson's also 8,000. With the Rams taking on Detroit. Chuba Hubbard of Carolina is in New York to take on the Giants. And then we have Joe Mixon, who's at 7,200 and has actually looked really good over the last couple of weeks. Maybe this is the season that Mixon sort of breaks out. Who do you like at running back this week?
Yeah, I think I want Henry first. I think that I just try to do what I can to get there. And you can get there. There are value plays to get there. In your non-Henry lineups, I love Leonard Fournette. I think you can use Fournette with Henry, too, because his salary is very forgiving at $7,000. The past two games, even Giovanni Bernard being back, Fournette still had a really good role, a lot of targets in that offense, and he's facing the Bears. The Bears' rush defense, not what it previously was. So I think that Fournette is among the best plays on this slate. As far as some lower salary guys, I want to keep an eye on J.D. McKissick. If Antonio Gibson can't go, McKissick basically becomes DeAndre Swift from a usage perspective. So he's $5,700. If Gibson plays, then I think that the top two value guys are Miles Sanders and Devontae Booker. I prefer Sanders. Sounds like he may get an increase in his carry number this week because the Eagles want to emphasize the running game for once. So that's a good thing for him. Lane Johnson being back is good for him. His snap rate has already been tremendous. So I think that increased volume for Sanders could allow him to be a really solid play at 59. Devontae Booker at 58 with Saquon Barkley being out has had a good role, just hasn't had the efficiency. That's why I put him below Sanders. So to me, it's McKissick if I can get him, but if not, I would say Sanders is one for the value plays, followed by Booker number two. But to me, the standout guy here outside of Henry is Fournette at $7,000.
Yeah, and some good rest for Fournette too, not to mention I like the Booker call too. I think the game just got away from the Giants' weird sort of game planning near the end zone. A lot of turnovers too. I feel like Booker bounces back and is something. I mean, I know he was a nothing last week, but I feel like he is something moving forward for sure. All right, so the wide receivers, that's where we got to figure out how to make this work this week, because this is usually where you're going to cash in. We have Davante Adams, who is just simply easy to use at 9,000. Cooper Kupp has been a monster. He's 8,800. Detroit's defense has actually been pretty good, surprisingly. Tyreek Hill, 8,500. Hopkins is at 8,000. Patterson, I guess, qualifies as a wide receiver too. That's interesting. 8,000. Yeah. DJ Moore, 7,700. Jamar Chase, is at 7,500. It caught me by surprise there. I don't know that I remember. I guess because so many players are off, that's why Patterson has peaked in there. But I don't recall, you know, having dual player eligibility. I guess Taysom Hill, there was some controversy over him. But wow, Patterson's good value at both.
Yeah, you can use four running backs. Who's going to say no to that? But I do think that to me, at the top end at wide receiver, I want Tyreek Hill as often as I can get him. Didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday, but should be good to go with that quad injury. Facing the Titans, it is the best game to stack on the slate. He is the best piece within that game. You just want Tyreek Hill, and you can pair him with Derrick Henry. You can make that work if you're willing to use the lower salary backs like Miles Sanders and Devontae Booker. Outside of Tyreek Hill, I like two guys in that Falcons-Dolphins game. Calvin Ridley is $7,300, got great usage before he missed that London game with a ton of deep targets, ton of red zone targets, ton of overall targets. And I think here against the Dolphins with that secondary banged up, it should be a good game for Calvin Ridley coming off the bye. On the Dolphins side, it looks like Devontae Parker will be back this week. He's $5,600, 22% of the team targets before he got hurt, and then he also had 38% of the deep targets. He and Tua looked good in week one, 81 yards for Devontae Parker in that game. And for $5,600, that's a really nice role to have. So to me, I think getting wide receivers in that game is pretty attractive. Not opposed to Jalen Waddle at $5,900, but I think that Parker, assuming he is back, is a really fun option. $5,600. I think that he should be in for a nice return against this bad Falcons defense.
Yeah, I got to tell you, if the Dolphins have any offense whatsoever, Jim, this is going to be the week. I mean, this is basically it. After what happened last week, playing that conservative at the end of the game, my gosh, this has got to be their bust-out week if there ever was one against Atlanta. Okay, over to tight end here, and we do have two of the top three tight ends in football available this week. Of course, Kittle is out. So let's start off with Travis Kelce, who is at 8,200. And ironically, Tennessee's done a good job against tight ends, I guess. We also have Andrews here at 7,500, Waller at 6,800. And I'll stop here with Gronk at 6,500. Those are the top four. Do you see any of those or someone else?
Love Waller at $6,800. I think it's a good spot for him. Still a lot of volume. The Eagles not as great against tight ends. So I think that Waller makes a lot of sense. As far as the lower salary guys, Tyler Higbee, $5,500. He's playing a lot of snaps, facing the Lions, getting a lot of red zone work. I'll keep on trying it, probably keep on failing, but whatever, we'll give it a shot. And then Ricky Seals-Jones is $5,400 facing the Packers. Great role for him with no Logan Thomas. So to me, Waller at the top, Higbee and Seals-Jones in the middle being the primary guys for me, just because they're all getting volume and all in games I really don't mind.
Yep, scored a touchdown last week. Good call there. All right, Jim, thanks again for coming on the show. Really appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You as well, Craig. Thank you very much.
All right. Follow Jim on Twitter at Jim Sanis, simulating his way to money for you over on numberfire.com. We'll take a quick time out. We'll be back with more fantasy sports today.
Giving you your U.S. recommended daily allowance of the winning edge.
24 hours a day.
7 days a week.
Open wide.
This is the Sports Grid Radio Network. College.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. This Sunday and every Sunday at 8 a.m. Eastern, you can catch me, Joe Pisapia, and Matt Stryker as we take you through the fantasy football week ahead. And here we are. It is week 7. Is that right? Week 7, am I looking at, Joe, of the fantasy football season? I thought it was week 2. Didn't we just get started?
It goes by oh so fast. Thank goodness we've added an extra one. I know that makes you very happy. But yes, the guy who has 162 Marlins games to cover is complaining about 7 football games. Come on now, Greg. Come on. Let's go. Yeah. Week 7, we can certainly do with some more football. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, very true. Before we know it, it'll be here and it'll be over. But for a lot of folks, Joe, this is kind of a critical week because aside from the record, I mean, let's be honest, you're 0-6 at this point. You're 1-5. You're done. You're going to watch us anyway just because you want to see Joe talk about, you know, Game of Thrones. But for the most part, for the most part, the people who are in it are freaking out because they got a lot of guys off and they're on the waiver wire and there's no one there, you know, and it's like it's the toughest week of the fantasy football season by far.
It is. And what's making, obviously, the buys even more difficult is all the injuries we've had at the running back position specifically. And so many guys who are uncertain about. And whether it's Gibson, whether it's Collins, whether it's Damian Williams. I mean, there's so much uncertainty right now in that running back pool that's very thin to begin with. It's very difficult. So you're having a lot of people who are going to be starting Dearness Johnson. A lot of people plucking off J.D. McKissick, probably starting him this week. Jared Patterson, those deeper leagues, another guy who had a good college career. I think you would agree on that, and he might get some run potentially this week. So the running back position is going to be painful for, I think, a lot of people this week. So that means you have to build into your lineup with the flex some more certainty. Try to find some guys with some upside that you could start this week. You're going to be missing those Cowboys wide receivers. You're going to be missing the guys in for the Chargers. So what you can do is try to build up a little bit more in those PPR leagues. Favor the wide receivers over the running backs. You got to start two running backs in most leagues, so you bite the bullet there. But try your best to look elsewhere how else you could score points. And there's a lot of people who don't want to drop talent right now who are saying, well, I'm missing a kicker. I'm missing a defense. Right. Drop the kicker. Drop the defense. Don't take the zero. And don't drop talented wide receivers or running back depth just to add an extra kicker and keep another kicker on the bench. That's insane. Please don't do it. This is a public service announcement from me to you.
All right, there you go.
All right.
In the black book, in the glossary. You can do some fun. So you're saying I should not cut Greg Zuerlein? I don't know if I can do that, man. Like, so far I have not.
Well, look, like I said, I've gotten 3 or 4 questions just about Bass alone. Like, what do I do? He's been the highest kicker. I don't care. What are we going to do in Buffalo when it's cold? You think kicking's going to be easier then?
Yeah,
no, true. You can't be dropping the Ramondre Stevensons of the world from your roster right now, especially in this crucial time, just to worry about kicker and defense. But from a theoretical standpoint, just understand, just move on. Hopefully you can get those pieces back in the following week if you can. Besides, this week, like you said, might be the end for a lot of people. Maybe they're not paying attention to the waiver wire, so that could also work in your favor.
Yeah, no, that's true with defenses too. I'm already mapping out my defense for like week 13. That's kind of silly, I guess. All right, so listen, I can use me as an example. I'm having a very good season so far. Very thankful. Even though I lost
all the prep, all the weeks and weeks of prep you put into it, I'm sure.
I mean, it was insane, man. Like back in June, I was doing these best balls. It was insane. So I did take an L last week after getting 140 something points. I just lost to the point leader. You know how that works. But I'm the number one overall. I should be in good shape. All right. So set me up here. One league I got Prescott, and one league I got Herbert, and I gotta play a different quarterback. Now, given the fact that you do this for a living 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I'm not going to read you all these names of the quarterbacks are on the waiver wire. You know most of the ones that are sitting out there. And you know the ones that are not because they're on bye. So give me my pickups this week. And I want to hedge, by the way. I'm not picking up the same guy in both leagues. You know how I do. I want to hedge a little.
I know. You do like to cover all your bases. That's Craig Mish. Yeah. You can't be happy. You got to be at least a little happy and a little miserable at some point. I understand.
Jewish hedge.
Not my words, yours. Let's talk about.
I'm Jewish. It's okay.
Against the Seattle Seahawks, theoretically a good matchup there. His passing numbers are trending in the right direction. Callaway's been getting more involved. That's a good thing. Seattle's terrible against the pass. So statistically speaking, Winston is a guy you can plug and play. Carson Wentz, back-to-back weeks with 2 touchdowns. That's another guy too that I think is trending in the right direction with this offense. Things are going better. I don't know if we're going to get T.Y. Hilton. Certainly not looking encouraging at this point. But Michael Pittman's been very good. Taylor's been very good. He's playing at San Francisco, but you know what? San Francisco, I think, has a lot of problems. And as far as like another streaming quarterback out there right now, I think those are the two guys. Maybe Tua also.
Right.
Tua in this matchup against the Atlanta Falcons, or if somebody dropped Matt Ryan last week because of the bye. Yeah. That's another guy. I think that game in particular from a DFS standpoint, but also from a streaming standpoint, has a lot of allure to it because I think the total is going to be high. That Miami defense has not played well this year. We can all agree. They've given up a ton of points. And on top of which, we all know the Atlanta Falcons defense is not very good. So that combination, one of those two guys, in fact, if I had to rank them, I would probably be Matt Ryan's the safest. Tua has a little bit of upside, but if you want to hedge a little bit, I think Bridgewater and Wentz are also in that mix. So it could be worse. It could be better. But if any of those combination of guys are out there, I would be picking those guys up this week.
All right. So Wentz, Winston, Tua and Ryan. Those are the four. Right?
Those are the four.
Mm-hmm. The primary four. Okay, so with Thursday night in the rearview mirror, let's move ahead now to the running backs, potentially sitting out there on the waiver wire. I thought, and as we're doing this, and by the way, Joe and I, we record this before the show, so as we're live, if something changed, we'll come back and tell you. But as we're doing, I thought Patterson was going to be a good pickup. I've owned him all season long, the running back on Washington, just waiting for his shot. The more I think about it, in DFS, and we'll talk about it Sunday, and probably even in season-long leagues, the more this is trending, it feels like McKissick may be a phenomenal play. I just wish he was on the waiver wire this week. He's pretty much owned.
Yeah, he pretty much is. But I would say that from a DFS standpoint, that's the whole point, right? You get that second life. And McKissick, especially on the DraftKings side, is priced very reasonably this week. You thought it might take up a little bit more, but typically it takes 2 weeks for the algorithm to catch up to guys' performance and injuries and things going on with teams. I wouldn't be surprised if Patterson got more work than we realize, but would he get enough work to really eat into the McKissick workload if Gibson doesn't play? Now, again, we have to keep a close eye on Gibson. He was practicing on Thursday. That's a positive sign, but yet again, do we feel good about him going into the game and not coming out of the game? That's a real question to ask ourselves. So McKissick's a guy you can play. I think Ramondre Stevenson, who, believe it or not, led the New England Patriots running backs in targets out of the backfield. Somehow that's Ramondre Stevenson. Not sure how that happened, but you know what? It's against the Jets this week. Let's see if we can make that work. And I know it's going to sound absolutely crazy, but Devonta Freeman, to me, looked the best of all of those Baltimore running backs that they're trying to throw out there. He looked the best running the football. He is in the best shape. He's in a better shape than Le'Veon Bell. Latavius Murray's banged up. I think that's another guy you could stream this week, pick up off the waiver wire, and maybe get by. But it is absolutely rough. There is no doubt about it. This week is particularly tough. But those are a few names, at least, that might still be floating on the waiver wire that you could pick up and plug in and play this week.
All right, so real quick, let's just go to wide receiver, just, you know, some possibilities for this week. As I look around at it, there doesn't seem to be massive injuries around the league as far as receivers, so it's just kind of like players that you can plug and play. I guess what we could do is if we find out, you mentioned Wentz as a possibility that you like a quarterback, so I suppose if that is the case, Joe, and Campbell, who I have, unfortunately, and he's out, and Hilton doesn't play. I mean, is it back to Zach Pascal again? Or is it Mo Alley Cox? Remember that whole season we had last year with those guys?
Oh, the Mo Alley Cox. I don't know if I really want to necessarily go down that road because that is very hit and miss. It's very touchdown dependent. I think theoretically you've got a good matchup here on paper at least, and I know it hasn't come to fruition yet, but Mooney and Allen Robinson should probably be in your lineups this week, and I know it's been tough, but the Tampa secondary has been terrible. I know Antoine Winfield is back playing safety. That's a positive for that secondary, but I don't know if that's enough for that secondary. Pittman would be that guy that, again, I think that he continues to grow in this offense. That's a positive thing. A lot of people haven't played a lot of Jalen Waddle. Well, guess what? Tua was back last week, and you saw double-digit targets for Jalen Waddle. It's another guy I would plug into that lineup. It's a tough thing here, too, because now you're getting to those guys like Pascal, like Christian Kirk, a little touchdown dependent. They're kind of all or nothing. You might have to take that shot. And if I'm going to take a shot, I'm going to do it with the offense that I think has a phenomenal opportunity this week to pile on points. And it's going to be an offense probably like an Arizona Cardinals, where you could take a shot on AJ Green or take a shot on Rondale Moore and hope that they're the guys that score touchdowns, because the targets have been spread around a little bit more. It's not all going to DeAndre Hopkins like it did last year. Hopkins has been very efficient, but you've seen them start to spread the ball around. Even Ertz, I imagine he's going to get some play this week as well right away for that team. I would also throw out Marquez Callaway. You know, it's week 7, Craig. Did you know that this is when Michael Thomas is supposed to be back? Yeah, great. I've got some land by the swamp in Florida where Craig lives. I'd like to sell you also about this Michael Thomas thing. But Callaway's another guy that I think you can plug and play this week. Good matchup against Seattle. And trending in the right direction, getting some red zone work, starting to score some touchdowns after a rough start to the season and a great preseason. We were left kind of wondering what's going on with Callaway, but I think it's trending in the right direction when it comes to him. And Rashad Bateman's the other guy, too. Bateman looked good, first shot out of the gate, limited in terms of the snap count he had, but I think he had 4 of his 6 targets he hauled in. That's positive. I expect him to play more this week against Cincinnati. So that's another guy that if he's still floating out there, grab him off the waiver wire, plug him in the flex spot.
All right, so I almost never text you during games. Maybe in a year I haven't, but that Dallas-New England game last week, crazy. I mean, I was thinking of you because I cannot imagine the range of emotions that you were going through last week. I mean, that was my favorite pick of the week too. Like I mean, and it was a great pick. I mean, honestly, New England deserved to cover that game like 8 times. But I can only imagine what that must have been like for you watching that game last week.
It, you know, the other part that was so funny is I do the IDP podcast, so we talked at length about Trayvon Diggs, why he's so valuable. It's not just because of the picks. It's because everyone keeps throwing on him because he gives up so many yards. And that's the funny thing about this guy. Normally, when you got a shutdown corner, a guy like a Ramsey or a Revis or somebody like that, they're terrible IDP players. You don't want to go anywhere near them, right? Not Diggs. And you literally saw it on back-to-back plays. He runs one back for a touchdown. The very next play on offense, he gets burned for a huge touchdown by Kendrick Bourne.
All right, that's Joe Pisapia. I'm Craig Mish. We'll be back with more right after this.
Look.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
So welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. Craig and David back with you. We'll get to Fantasy Reality coming up in just a minute. Well, another huge 40-plus point performance last night for Steph Curry. Looks completely healthy, maybe for the first time in almost 2 years, as he led the Warriors to yet another win. They've started off the season 2-0. Curry, of course, no doubt headed to the Basketball Hall of Fame when it's all said and done. But yesterday, he found out that he was named to the NBA's all-75-year anniversary team, along with a couple of guys that he used to play with, including Kevin Durant. He was asked about getting that honor after the game.
Obviously, it's an amazing honor. It's something never dreamed of in terms of – I remember watching the top 50 list and those interesting jackets they had and just the names that you saw and all that. And now you think about 25 more in the last 25 years and what it's meant. So to be on that list is, it's amazing. Especially while you're still playing, it means a lot in terms of what you poured into the game and what I feel like I have left. Obviously those two guys deserve to be on that list. Their resumes stack up with anybody in terms of winning, accolades, you know, everything. So I know it's a vote and I know there's a whole process and there's some other, you know, top level names that aren't on that list. It just, one speaks to how special that 75 is, but also how talented this league is. And I've played with two guys who deserve to be on that list as well. So I think Clay said fuel for the fire. I like that too.
Good to see that yesterday. It seems like the players that have been named to it, Davis, were humbled by it. I know the James Harden clip was floating around the internet too when he found out, that he was shocked. Dwayne Wade talked about it being on that list last night. And like Curry, I remember it vividly. In fact, they had a huge book back when books were really popular, a hardcover book. That's how, Davis, they released the NBA at 50. It was a book with the 50 players in there. I think I still have it somewhere in my garage, but now adding 25 more to that, including Curry.
Yeah, really cool for Curry. I mean, I actually agree with Curry, though. For me, Klay Thompson has got to be on that list because Klay Thompson is so emblematic of what the NBA has become, which is it's you got to make your three-pointers. I mean, a three-point shooter who does nothing else and who shot like Klay would be phenomenal, but, and people definitely forget this about Klay, also an unreal defender. Those years when Golden State was, you know, winning 73 games, winning all those NBA championships, people, like, normally when someone says people forget, people did not actually forget, but people do actually forget that Klay Thompson is a complete stone cold lockdown defender on the perimeter. You know, he was handling Kyrie Irving on a lot of those possessions against the Cleveland Cavaliers and did a great job. So for me, Klay Thompson would be on that list as well. Don't know if I agree about Draymond. I mean, you know, all due respect to my guy, Draymond Green, not sure if I agree there. But yeah, Steph and Klay locks. And I mean, Steph, weirdly enough, before we get into fantasy reality, do you agree with the concept that despite all the accolades, despite the MVPs, Curry is actually underrated? Because I do. I actually think that the average NBA fan does not understand, you know, what the threat of a guy who can shoot 40% from three from, you know, 35 feet, what that actually does for a team.
I think he's underrated now, but I think eventually it will be recognized that he changed the game and he changed the three-point shot. So for right now, yes, but, you know, what happens is it takes time, revisionist history, people go back and they look and they say, wow, this guy did this. I think that happens with him. Maybe not now. The other thing, too, is that now without Durant and now without Klay Thompson and with Curry being healthy, it'll be interesting to see how far Golden State goes this year. I know that I think that we talked about being a 6 or 7 or an 8 in terms of the seeding. Maybe it's higher, maybe it's lower, but some of that legacy is going to continue now. All right, let's turn it over to Brett for today's fantasy or reality.
All right, guys. Well, today we're starting with college football, because a few weeks ago, we didn't talk any college football and I got in trouble, so I'm not doing that again. Craig, we'll start with you for this one. The Heisman odds have been updated. Matt Corral and Bryce Young, co-favorites at plus 175. CJ Stroud, the Ohio State quarterback, in third at plus 700. And then there's a tie for fourth between Desmond Ridder, the Cincinnati quarterback, and Kyle Pickett, who has a big game this weekend at or home versus Clemson, and he's plus 2,000 as well. So, Craig, we'll start with you. Now is the time to bet Kenny Pickett to win the Heisman before the Clemson game. Is this a fantasy or reality?
You know, sometimes we do have to apologize for Brett justifying his sports bets here on fantasy or reality. This is a fantasy. But good try, Brett, for sure. I mean, look, I mean, you want to throw 10, 20, 50, 100 bucks on something and just burn the money, have at it. Matt Corral is the Heisman Trophy Award winner. He runs, he throws, he's the best quarterback in the nation. They're not going to give the Heisman Trophy Award winner to an Alabama quarterback that loses, and they already have a loss. So odds are very against that. The number one team in the country is Georgia. There is no clear-cut Heisman on that team. Lane Kiffin, who everybody knows very well, when he was at Alabama, when he was at UCLA, when he was with the Raiders, when he was with Florida Atlantic in my neck of the woods, and now that he's with Mississippi, he loves his attention. And as the season goes along, and I was on this weeks ago, this is the easiest bet. Matt Corral, Davis, he is going to be given like those Aaron Rodgers one-yard touchdowns. He is going to rush. He's going to throw. He wants a Heisman Trophy Award winner on Mississippi. Do not even consider anybody else for this award. I honestly, if Mississippi loses again, I still don't even think it'll matter. Corral is going to be the Heisman Trophy Award winner. He may not be great in the NFL. I don't know. But Lane is no dummy. He knows he loves attention, and that's what he's after here.
Yeah, I think that certainly I agree with the market that Matt Corral is the most likely winner for the Heisman Trophy. Now, granted, they have already lost a game, you know, but slight little wrench here. Matt Corral is banged up, maybe not going to play this Saturday. He's not been able to practice all week for Ole Miss. They play against LSU this week, and LSU's a mess. They probably win without him. That never looks great for Heisman voting. If Matt Corral were to miss this game and they were to beat LSU, that's not great. They also have two pretty difficult games. I mean, relatively speaking, they're going to play at Auburn, and they're going to play home to Texas A&M. We laugh about Texas A&M. Dude, they're good. Like, I watched them this last weekend. They played toe-to-toe with Alabama, obviously ends up beating them. So that's not a cakewalk game. I will say the same thing I said last week. The absolute best bet that you can make for Heisman is Caleb Williams at 40-1. They have this game against KU this weekend. They are, like, I don't even know. They got to be, like, 57-point favorites against KU. They are going to win the Big 12. They're not going to lose a regular season game. They're not going to lose until they get to the college football playoff. They will lose to whoever they play in the college football playoff, whether it be Georgia, whether it be Alabama. That is Oklahoma's destiny, to win the Big 12 every single year and to lose that first game in the college football playoff. But if I was betting on one guy right now, it would for sure be Caleb Williams at the number that FanDuel, by the way, has the most generous line posted. He's 13-1 on the DraftKings Sportsbook, 40-1 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. But yeah, Caleb Williams would be the guy I would bet.
All right. Yeah, I mean, Corral was 20-1 just a few weeks ago, by the way. But I guess we all just see it differently here today on the show, which makes it fun. All right, Brett, what else
we
got?
It's super wide open this year. This is as wide open as the Joe Burrow year, I think.
I don't think so. I think Matt Corral's going to win that. Now, listen, I was not aware of the injury. I would also tell you that on one leg, Matt Corral will play against LSU if he can play on one leg. But that being said, you would be accurate if he misses a game this week. Keep in mind, Caleb Williams did not play the first three games of the season. So, but just say.
All right. Our next question, we're going over to the hardwood because the Miami Heat dominated the defending champs last night. 2 years ago, the Miami Heat took care of the Milwaukee Bucks in the bubble. Last year, the Milwaukee Bucks took care of the Miami Heat in the postseason. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. The Miami Heat are a threat to win the Eastern Conference. Is this a fantasy or reality?
100% reality. Because they're really good to begin with. Jimmy Butler, great player. Kyle Lowry, pretty good player. Bam Adebayo, good player. It's going to come down to what do they get out of their secondary guys. And is this Tyler Herro thing real? You know, he scored 27 points in 25 minutes last night. If he can be that guy for them, they can. The Bucks got worse over the offseason with some of the changes they had to make to their roster. So for me, this is legit. This is a reality.
Yeah, I mean, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Miami, maybe Philadelphia, perhaps Atlanta. I mean, that's pretty much it, I think. Maybe I could be wrong. I'm probably not the best to ask about this, but as far as me looking at this and thinking that there's a chance, there's no doubt. I mean, Kyle Lowry was one of the biggest adds to the Eastern Conference in the offseason. So look, you know, it's one game and everyone's going to get really excited about it. And certainly they should be, because the Heat's going to be a really good team. It's also a very well-coached team, of course. But in the end, they have, I think, I mean, the question is not really a threat, because I think all those five teams are a threat. I think it's like, are they a serious threat? And I think the answer is yes. But I think the difference with Miami, maybe in years past, is that I think personally they have got to get some sort of home court advantage going into the playoffs this year. It seems like that's really kind of doomed them outside of that bubble. When they had to go to Milwaukee, they just got smashed last year. I think they got to finish in that top four. And at that point, yes, I make them a serious threat. I probably have Brooklyn, Miami, Milwaukee, first three. I think that's the way that I would look at it right now.
All right. Our last question. The new Avengers movie premiered, or I may be wrong, but the movie is called The Eternals, and it's in the Marvel comic universe, and Harry Styles was in the post-credit scene as Thor's brother. So, Davis, we'll start with you for this one. Harry Styles is a good addition to the Marvel universe. I guess all this news actually broke at the premiere of the movie, so the movie is not out yet, but Harry Styles will be a good addition to the Marvel's universe. Is this a fantasy or reality?
I mean, I don't really know anything about Harry Styles. I think he was in One Direction, right? So this will be good for Marvel making money, but I mean, I don't care about Harry Styles. So I guess reality, but I don't really care.
Yeah, this is a rare I'm not sure from me, and that's like the worst take you could possibly have, because this is my blind spot as all of these Avengers movies. And you know, Joe Pizzapia used to host the show with me, was like begging me. He's like, these things are amazing. You got to watch all these movies, and you just start from the beginning, and you sit around for 12 hours with your kids. I'm like, Joe, I'm not doing that. It's not happening. So I've been behind on these, and so I don't really know the answer to this. Now, in terms of just getting people on there, I mean, this reminds me of maybe Justin Bieber being in a movie 10 years ago and making it popular. Yes, of course, this is great. I mean, more eyes, more money, that's really all that matters. But unfortunately, I'm just not a huge fan of the Avengers movies. Sad, I know. Don't hold it against me. We'll be right back to wrap it up. Don't go away.
Break. Remember that
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Welcome back, Fantasy Sports Today. AJ Brown looks good to go for the Tennessee Titans this weekend, arguably the best fantasy game of the weekend. An NFL total approaching 60 points between Kansas City and Tennessee this weekend. All right, let's get out of here. But before we do, let's turn it over to Davis. He's got the Sports Grid 60.
So we've reached the end of the week in terms of our content here. And look, we've talked about the week seven bye weeks, the Cowboys, the Steelers, the Bills, the Vikings, Chargers, all these great teams, right? All these fantasy stars, even the crappy teams, the Jaguars, have you know, multiple fantasy starters at this point. And I had a pretty negative mindset when I was doing waivers this week because it was a gigantic pain in my butt. But I have arrived here. You know what? There's not going to be another week of the season where I get to dive this deep and dig this deep, right? Starting A.J. Dillon, Rondale Moore, right? You know, all of these guys. This is going to be the only time I get to start these guys on my fantasy team unless they really blow up. So I am just, I'm going to revel in it. I'm going to get to start some deep guys that I've held on my rosters, you know, in Dynasty and stuff for a long time. So I'm just, Craig, I'm going to enjoy the bi-nado, I think.
All right, yeah. I mean, Ramondre Stevenson in my league, playing Waller and Zach Ertz in a league where you only have one tight end. Yeah, I mean, those are the things that I'm doing this week. Okay, I'm rooting for Atlanta. I'm rooting for the city. I'm rooting for the Braves. And by the way, if Atlanta loses in game six, all of these things about Atlanta being a city where their sports teams just can't close it out, these are all coming back for game seven and in their home park too. This needs to be put to bed, and this is a great opportunity to do it in game six. But if it doesn't happen, all of the shadows of the Hawks blowing series and the Falcons blowing their Super Bowl and the Braves previously getting to a lot of World Series and not winning them, they all come back. So hopefully the Braves don't go through that this weekend. That'll do it for the show. Thanks to Sarah over at LTN, Spencer for helping out all week long, Danny and Ryan, co-host Brett Levy, and also co-host David Pratt. I'm Craig Mish. See you Sunday.
There are a lot of sports talk networks out there, but we're the one that gives you actionable insights on gaming.
Forget whatever plans you have this weekend because you're staying at home and playing on SpinQuest. And there's never been a better time to sign up than right now. New users get $30 coin packs for just $10. All the table games you love with hundreds of slot games and real cash prizes. That's at SpinQuest.com. SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.